upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, editor-in-chief and founder of Technocracy News and Trends. I might note, just starting out, that technocracy.news is the only website on the internet that takes a very critical look and analysis at technocracy in general, and is specific all of the things that seem to be playing to technocracy. We have suggested for a long time now that there is a fifth column of actors in the world called technocrats, who are intending to use advanced technology to corral humanity into a scientific dictatorship. We see this coming true right under our noses with social media giants, including Facebook and Twitter, Reddit, others, as well as Google, and perhaps another one or two search engines, but primarily Google. And we see technology surrounding us now in ways that are not helpful to humanity at all, but rather destructive. President Dwight Eisenhower, in his famous farewell speech, warned us of this technological elite. President George H.W. Bush also warned us by saying that the Agenda 21 model from the Rio de Janeiro conference in 1992 was indeed going to be led by the United States. We would be the world leader in implementing this agenda. Well, let's focus now on the stories at hand, because technology is indeed running away, and we need to be paying very close attention to it. Article number one, the minor article today, the headline states, "Face reading AI tells police when you are lying." That's correct, when you are lying. I wrote at the head of this, law enforcement has little restraint in using technology that is known to have serious accuracy problems, as is the case with AI performing pre-crime, predictive analysis, lie detection, and facial recognition. These technologies are far from proven at this point. In some cases, they're just simply shots in the dark. And yet people will gravitate around them thinking, wow, we could be on the leading edge of this. We could be heroes by being the first adopters to try and use and experiment with this technology. The problem is they're experimenting on real people with real lives. This article starts out, American psychologist Paul Ekman's research on facial recognition spawned a whole new career of human lie detectors more than four decades ago. Artificial intelligence could soon take their jobs. While the U.S. has pioneered the use of automated technologies to reveal the hidden emotions and reactions of suspects, and a whole flock of entrepreneurial ventures are working to make it more efficient and less prone to false signals. And well, the company mentioned here is FaceSoft, a UK startup. It says it's built a database of 300 million images of faces, some of which have been created by an AI system modeled on the human brain. The system built by the company can identify emotions like anger, fear, surprise, and so on, based on micro expressions, which are often invisible to the casual observer. The co-founder and CEO said, quote, "If someone smiles insincerely, their mouth may smile, but the smile doesn't reach their eyes. Microexpressions are more subtle than that and quicker." FaceOff has approached police in Mumbai, India, about using the system for monitoring crowds to detect evolving mob dynamics. It is also touted as product to police forces in the UK. Well, indeed, I guess detecting evolving mob dynamics may be important to some, especially in countries where there are lots of mobs roaming around. One wonders if this is a trend that is determined by the global elite themselves. But as mobs do rise up against issues in government and society, those in power will have the ability to monitor their evolving mob dynamics. And furthermore, when somebody gets collared for a suspected crime, simply point the camera at them and tell them they're lying or not. Get the truth out of them one way or another. This is very dangerous, I think. Article number two, very thoughtful article, called Raging Against the Algorithm, Google and Persuasive Technology. Now, we know that Google dominates because it panders to human weaknesses, not strengths. So is the problem then simply systemic, accidental, or predestined? Or is it specifically designed that way and directed by humans who have lost their moral and ethical compass? Well, as you listen to the video in this article by one Tristan Harris, you must ask the question, can technocrats solve the problems that technocrats created in the first place? Or put another way, is more technology the answer to overcoming current technology? Well, I won't say one way or another at this point, but it sounds suspicious to me that the people that created the problem in the first place are going to have a solution to fix it. This article points out the work of Tristan Harris. This article brings to the forefront an organization called Center for Humane Technology, which is founded and headed now by Tristan Harris. And Tristan and his fellow co-founders, as well as his fellow advisors, experts that he has on his board, some community leaders as well, has an answer, they think, for the runaway destruction of the human psyche by social media giants like Google, etc. And they're quite outspoken in their criticism. They understand that the system is broken. They believe that they have answers to it, how to fix it. And if you listen to the video in this particular article, you will find some very salient points on the problem. The problem is very well described, in my opinion. The answer, however, is more oblique. Can technology be used to fix problems that technology created in the first place? In other words, is it merely more of the same to get us out of the trouble that we're in? I don't think that's going to work too well. There is an ethical and moral dilemma in all of this, of course, but how it can be applied and retrofitted into the current problem is a very real question. When I look at the funders of this organization, that is the Center for Humane Technology, I'm a little concerned that this information may well be put forth by those who are working the other side. For instance, we see the Knight Foundation, and we see the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation involved. We see the Ford Foundation funding this organization and others. These are not organizations, by the way, that have helped humanity over a period of time, but rather are looking to push us into a technocratic world dominated by a few scientific elite. The Atlantic Magazine says about Tristan Harris that he is called the closest thing Silicon Valley has to a conscience. He was the actual former design ethicist at Google, and he's a world expert on how technology steers us all, leaving Google to engage the issue publicly. Tristan spent over a decade understanding subtle psychological forces from his childhood as a magician to working with the Standard Persuasive Technology Lab to his role as CEO of Apture, which was acquired by Google. He's been featured on 60 Minutes, TED, The Atlantic, the PBS NewsHour, and more. And he has worked with major technology CEOs and briefed heads of state and other political leaders. The article states, in part, U.S. politicians think they have an answer. Only they are permitted control of the narrative and disseminating the lie. Of late, they may have been trying to sketch out a path they are not used to, regulating industry once hailed as sentinels of freedom, promoters of liberty. Their complaints tend to lack consistency. On the one hand, they find various Google algorithms problematic, preference for alt-right sites, conspiratorial gruel as damaging, but their slant is wonky and skewed. Had these algorithms been driving favorable search terms, conformist, steady, unquestioning, anti-Trump, the matter would be a non-starter. Our message, they would say, is getting out there. This week, the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation tried to make sense, in rather accusing fashion, of persuasive technology. Nanette Burns furnishes us with a definition. She said, The idea that computers, mobile phones, website, and other technologies could be designed to influence people's behavior and even attitudes. Well, that's the case. The committee hearing features such opinions as those of Senator John Thune, Republican South Dakota, who wished to use the proceedings to draft legislation that would, quote, require internet platforms to give consumers the option to engage with the platform without having the experience shaped by the algorithms, close quote. The senator is happy to accept that artificial intelligence powers automations to display content to optimize engagement, but sees a devil in the works as, quote, AI algorithms can have an unintended and possibly even dangerous downside. This is tantamount to wanting a Formula One Grand Prix without fast cars and athletic competition in slow motion. Facing the senators from Google side was Maggie Stanfill, director of Google User Experience. Her testimony was couched in words more akin to the glossiness of a travel brochure with a complimentary sprinkling of cocaine. She said, Google's digital well-being initiative is a top company goal, focusing on providing users with insights about their digital habits and tools to support an intentional relationship with technology. Google merely, quote, creates products that improve the lives of the people who use them, close quote. The company has provided access that has democratized information and provided services for billions of people around the world. When asked about whether Google was doing its bit in the persuasion business, Stanfill was unequivocal, quote, we do not use persuasive technology, close quote. This has already, by the way, been found to be a complete fabrication and a complete lie. Google is indeed in the persuasion business, and they're making no bones about it. And wherever this lady got her talking points from, they led her down the primrose path. This leads us to the third article today, which is a very serious consequence of what Google is doing to the rest of the world by providing prescriptive information to manage and manipulate and deceive. The headline of this article is, boom, Google crushes traffic to Mercola.com by 99%. That is right. Google has decimated organic search traffic to Mercola.com by 99%. I wrote at the start, Sir Francis Bacon first said in 1597, knowledge is power, which has since become Google's unspoken credo. By controlling what gets to your eyes, ears, and mind, Google can control you and everyone else. Mercola is the number one alternative and health-related website in the world, with a global rank of 6,335 of all traffic sites, receiving over 13 million visits per month. 48% of this traffic is from organic searches from engines like Google. And since Google controls 90% of the search market, that means virtually all of that 48% is coming from Google. However, Google has also been banned from Pinterest, in addition to Google, and shadow banned by other social media as well. This article, which is written by Dr. Mercola himself, states that over the years, the government and business monopolies, including the likes of big tech, have formed a global alliance hell-bent on protecting and concentrating member profits. The price for keeping business going as usual is personal liberty and freedom of speech that may impact these fascist government industrial complexes. The major industries colluding to take over the government and government agencies include banking, military, agriculture, pharma, media, and big tech. The leaders of these industries have organized strategies to buy off politicians through lobbying and to capture regulatory agencies through revolving door hiring strategies and paid-for media influence through advertising dollars. Big tech has joined the movement, he says, bringing in a global concentration of wealth to eliminate competition and critical voices, voices that bring awareness to the frightening future as our rights, freedoms, and competition erode into a fascist sunset, all disguised as a means to protect you from misinformation. This year, we've seen an unprecedented push to implement censorship across all online platforms, making it increasingly difficult to obtain and share crucial information about health topics. If you've not been having difficulty finding articles from my website in your Google searches of late, you're not alone. Google's traffic to Mercola.com has plummeted by about 99% over the past few weeks. The reason? Google's June 2019 broad core update, which took effect on June 3rd, removed most Mercola.com pages from its search results, as reported by Telepost.com. Now, at any time you enter a health-related search word into Google, such as heart disease or type 2 diabetes, you will not find Mercola.com articles in the search results. The only way to locate any of my articles at this point is by searching for Mercola.com/heart disease or Mercola.com/type 2 diabetes. Even skipping the .com will minimize your search results, and oftentimes the only pages you'll get are blogs, not my full peer-reviewed articles. Negative press by skeptics have also been upgraded, which means if you simply type in my name, none of my articles will come up, but what you will find are a deluge of negative articles voicing critiques against me in your searches. Try entering my name in Yahoo or Bing, and you will see completely different results. Now, indeed, I just typed in the word Mercola to the Google search engine. Listing number one says Dr. Mercola, number one natural health website, and actually goes directly to Mercola.com. And there's some other results right under it, sub-results, that mention Shop Mercola, Mercola products, About Dr. Mercola, and so on. The second listing right under his website is from an organization called quackwatch.org, which says, Dr. Joseph Mercola ordered to stop illegal claims. Right under that is an article from Wikipedia, which is highly critical of him. Right under that is another article that says, Dr. Mercola, visionary or quack, from February 2012. It's not even current. Right under that, Joseph Mercola, the ringer. The whole rest of the page is critical of Joseph Mercola. This hardly serves the public interest, and it is a blatant attack on a viable commercial enterprise that's been in existence for years, that has worked hard to establish a reputation with people all over the world to become one of the top websites in the world, and certainly the top alternative health site in the world. And Google has simply decided they don't deserve to be there. So they're gone. We have to note that Dr. Mercola is not only banned by Google, but also by Pinterest. He's being shadow banned by other social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter. This is very difficult to prove, but looking at the overall statistics, one can see what shadow banning is all about. And indeed, articles from technocracy.news have been shadow banned on both Twitter and Facebook. And it's easy for me to tell when this occurs, because while some articles may get hundreds or thousands of exposures in Facebook, and an article that gets shadow banned may only have 50 or 60 or even 100 exposures. Well, in that case, it's obvious that the algorithm has screwed back on presenting that particular post to people who follow our page on Facebook. And indeed, we have thousands and thousands of people that are following us on Facebook. So Google is asserting itself now. We've known this. We've seen it in action. They're going after little people. They're going after big people. And it has very little to do in the end with just political ideology. It's much deeper than that. There's a video that I put inside of the article here on Mercola that was a leaked internal video from Google some time ago called The Selfish Ledger. And it's a very dystopian and frightening look at what Google is thinking about the future. And of course, Google denied that this really meant anything, The Selfish Ledger. You have to listen to it. It's only just a few minutes long. But Google originally denied that this is what they're thinking. And this was just an experiment. This was just a discussion they were having internally, but didn't really amount to anything. What's interesting to me is, after all this time, that the video, The Selfish Ledger, is still visible on YouTube. How does this get by? Google censors and removes all kinds of videos for all kinds of reasons, especially those that are critical of Google, but has chosen to leave the supposedly leaked internal video that's quite damning on the intentions of Google to control society, and leaves it up. And I might add, at this point, this video has had no less than 492,703 views, suggesting that Google has presented this video as something to watch to a lot of people. Overall, the thumbs up on this video are 2,500 versus thumbs down of 289. Judging by the comments below the video, which are almost universally negative, it's interesting that the thumbs up versus thumb down count has such a wide difference between them. Well, I highly recommend that you read both of the articles just mentioned, Raging Against the Algorithm, Google and Persuasive Technology, and then What's Happened to Dr. McCullough on Google, and begin to understand, if you can, what's going on. Did this just happen by accident? Was it just the way the system developed? Was it all just a fait accompli from the beginning, that because technology evolved, it just evolved into this? Or were there human designers behind it that knew exactly what they were doing and sought to sucker the public throughout the world into a position of absolute control? This is the question only you can answer as you study this documentation. And some of you know that last year I formed an organization called Citizens for Free Speech, the website of which is citizensforfreespeech.org. This is a nonprofit tax-exempt organization that I created to counter censorship and attacks on the First Amendment in general. Now, the First Amendment is broader than just the issue of free speech. It also includes the right to assembly, the right to redress government, the right to freely express your religion. And we have seen the attacks on the First Amendment in general and specifically on free speech. These are simply not acceptable to the American people. Citizensforfreespeech.org is a place that you could go right now to join up and put your name on the list to fight censorship in America. We're simply not going to sit for it anymore. Not only do our legislators need to know what's going on, but also people of America need to know what's going on and what the stakes are. Most people, unfortunately, still do not have a clue what's going on in the social media world today. Or even if they've read an article about it, they don't understand the importance or the significance of it. If America loses the practical aspects of the First Amendment, which was placed in the First Amendment slot, by the way, on purpose by the nation's founders, then the Second Amendment, which was also placed second for a reason, becomes the next line of defense to save our Constitution and our country. This also would not be acceptable. And yet many people seem to be pushing for another civil war in America to create conflict between right and left and conservatives and liberals and radicals and non-radicals and whatever, or just between radical organizations themselves. It seems like there are those who want to watch America fight itself. I don't think this is anything that any true American ever wants to see happen, where Americans are shedding the blood of other Americans. We had one civil war already, as you know, that was one of the most destructive wars in the history of the planet. We don't want to risk that again under any circumstances. So the First Amendment is something that absolutely must be restored in a practical sense to allow the free interchange of ideas in American politic and American society. There simply is no alternative. So please do us both a favor. Go over to citizensforfreespeech.org today. Put your name on the list so you can be contacted with more information. There will be more information coming out soon. You won't want to miss that. So in the meantime, do what you can to spread the word. Share articles on technocracy.news in any way that you possibly can, even by printing them out and taking them to meetings you go to, just handing them to people. Here, read this. But you can also use email, you can use all the various social media platforms to share directly to your pages there if you're still involved with any of them. But please don't miss any opportunity to share the information with your fellow Americans. It's time for us to assert ourselves, to stand up and be counted, and now is the time. Well, I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. We'll see you next time.